Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. Unfortunately, this isn't going to be the best of times here. We might want to prepare for some of the worst of times. Pretty rough week here for Duke fellas. So fall to Arkansas on the road, 80-75, turn right back around in Atlanta, drop another close one, 72-68. Unfortunately, in Atlanta, we did lose Tyrese for most of that game. I still haven't seen a whole lot yet in terms of prognosis and how long we're looking at this. Ankle looked kind of rough there. Hopefully it's just a tweak, sprain or something that he can kind of be able to get back right shortly. Other thing of note, as I guess we did see Ryan Young start the game at Georgia Tech. We can talk about that a little bit. Results stayed the same, so I don't know how much that really helped. But as we jump in, I don't want to talk too much individually here about each game. We'll just kind of talk about some of the themes I think that we can take away. You know, if you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, if you've been watching the game, it's pretty obvious here that the offensive struggles, and we've continued to see it. We talked about it, I think, last week with Bun. Don't know how to start games. Can't find energy to start games. Saw it a little bit versus Arkansas. They were kind of bad. That game was just kind of bad for like the first 10 to 12 minutes. Georgia Tech just came out and hit us in the throat like immediately. As soon as Tyrese went down, that game felt over. Let's start there. Shu, I'll go to you first here. Again, these slow starts, looking at the offense, is this preparation? Is this coaching? Is it on the players here? Like, where are you going from this? This team can't shoot right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the million-dollar question, right? Like, are we just not motivated when we're coming in? You would think the Arkansas game was as wild as it was going to be in there that they would know, like, hey, we're going to have to come prepared to fight. Even the Georgia Tech game, you know, I think the plan was probably to maybe let them shoot threes at first because they weren't a great three-point shooting team, and all of a sudden they hit four out of their first five and you're down 10, and now you're in scramble mode because, again, our offense hasn't been great, so it's hard when we put ourselves in the holes like that to, you know, we just not able to string together stops and score at the same time. We do get a couple stops here and there, but we don't score to capitalize and you just don't make up that ground. So the slow starts definitely, I mean, it's slow starts out of the first and second halves, you know,
yeah,
each time. So that's a little bit of heart to me, a little bit of will. Like the first couple of minutes, just get out there and play basketball, you know, and then kind of calm down and settle into the game. But you got to come out hard, you know. You got to show them that you're going to fight all night.
Yeah, we look like rattled, which is just not a great look, especially coming out of the second half. I mean, Rod, I don't know. What do you think? You think these are just tough shots? We're getting good looks. They're just not going in. I mean, the looks seem to be okay. I'm still kind of wondering like why our attempts are still so low. I mean, part of running this five out is to shoot a lot of threes or at least more. 6 of 22, Arkansas, 4 of 16 versus Tech. You just said they made 4 in the first 3 minutes. We made 4 the whole game. I don't know. Is it time to pivot away from this role? What do you think? Is it time to look at adding another big man or mixing things up? We saw the Ryan Young. I don't think that's quite the answer we're looking for. Where are you at with it?
No, we saw the ceiling on the Ryan Young flip pairing early in the year last year, and it resulted in ugly offense. So I don't see how that's going to fix it. You're right on with your point about the three-point attempts. Right now, I'm seeing that we're 173rd in the country. That's in total attempts. Let me see. We're 202nd, actually, in three-point attempts per game. So not what we were expecting at all. And then we're only shooting 33% on them. I don't have an answer to whether that is the result of what we're running versus just players missing shots. I do think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, usually with stuff like this, the answer is not one or the other. Like somebody I saw on a message board had gone through and charted all of Jared McCain's attempts from this last game. And pretty much all of them are open, good attempts. And he's just not making shots is what it amounts to. And that's the same thing with what did McCain go, 3 of 10?
Yeah. Oh, 3 for 3. Yeah.
So you know, same thing with Filipowski. Obviously, he's a guy who's gonna get a fairly clean attempt every time he takes a shot because he's 7 feet tall. Yeah. You know, I from what I've seen this year, he's getting good stuff off the pick and pop, but he's making like 26% or something.
Yeah.
So you add that up, and it's like we've really only got like a couple guys shooting well. We've got Roach, and then we've got TJ Power, and I think that's about it. But one thing we can fix, if we can't fix actually making the shots, is we could fix who's taking them and the volume of attempts. You know, right now we've only got two guys who are attempting over like half their shots from three. Which I think is McCain and maybe Foster. I have to pull that up. But there is one other guy, though, that's attempting a ton of threes.
I think it's Proctor. Yeah, I think it's Proctor.
Yeah, so Proctor. So but I was going to say that there's one other player who's attempting a ton of threes, but he doesn't play much. And that's TJ Power.
Yeah.
And he's attempting 92% of his attempts from three. So maybe that's a little solution for you there. Get Power some more playing time. Just because we don't really have a high volume guy. Everybody's kind of in that 2 to 4 attempt range.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a kind of five out team, yeah, you need to be taking threes.
Yeah, for sure. And I like the TJ thing because he's shooting 50%. No, it's only 6 for 12, but and we've seen his minutes start to creep up. I mean, I thought he had some huge shots against Arkansas to kind of keep us in it. Had a big shot against Georgia Tech. I don't want to spoil it yet, but I wish he would have took the shot to almost maybe win the game against Georgia Tech too when Roach called the timeout. If he's going to be out there, let's get him more shots. Like, that's clearly what he's going to do. He's got a quick release. I think if we were playing a little bit faster, like the one that he made in transition, it's like on TV, it's like as soon as the camera caught up to it, he's shooting the ball. So, you know, he's got that trigger. I don't know, man. Flip at 26% is not good considering a lot of those shots are pretty much open shots. You know, we hadn't really talked about it here. You got Mark Mitchell at 1 for 13. That's probably the most glaring problem because of how he's being defended. And a part of me feels for Mark because that's like psychological torture, basically, right? When you're just a 6'8 forward who shot, 35 or 36% from three last year, which isn't, you know, that's not anything that people are going to be scared of, but it's certainly what somebody would guard. You would think that they would at least be guarding you. He's not even getting looked at out there, basically.
And I think it's affecting his like free throw shooting too, if you've noticed. Like, he went 9 of 9 against Michigan State and shot pretty poorly from the line since then. I wonder how much of that is this kind of psychological thing with doubting his own shot, because last year he was pretty reliable from the line.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and where he's taking it, he's taking like a lot of threes from that same spot in the floor.
Yep.
missing
get,
a ton.
Get to the corner, man.
That wing. Yeah, he needs to get to the corner. I mean, he hit the three to beat Notre Dame last year. Like, I don't even think he could shoot that shot if that happened this weekend. You know, if that was this weekend, he wouldn't be able to take it.
I know. He was taking a lot more of his threes from the corners last year, it felt like, for sure. I'm not sure why that is or what's going on with that. I did think, you know, I was kind of skipping around a little bit, but I did think he started to kind of take advantage of or recognize the coverage against Georgia Tech, getting into the lane. I think Jaminski or whoever was on the call was talking about, like, that's how he needs to do, take a couple of hard dribbles in there, try to get to the rim. The problem is he had those two dunks, but the lift just doesn't seem to be there. Like him getting up off the floor. I mean, the rebounding isn't quite what you would want it to be from playing him at the four. I think it's creating a lot of issues. Like that's position and how he's being defended is really kind of trickling out a little bit too and causing some dynamics here. But the shooting is an issue, isn't it? We talked about the threes. We haven't been that good. We've been good on the season shooting twos. Lately, though, we really haven't been that great shooting twos either. Not shooting free throws well. 67% versus Arkansas, 60% versus Tech. I don't know what you do with that. I mean, you can go and get shots up in practice, but I would imagine that these guys are draining them in practice, right? That these are good players. They're good shooters. Specifically like McCain and Flip, these guys seem like they should be able to make shots.
I think the free throw shooting is just an anomaly, to be honest with you. We shot really well from the line last year. We shot really well to start the year this year. You remember the MSU game, didn't we hit like almost all of our free throws on like high volume?
Yeah,
sounds right.
And it's just like, yes, there's some guys who you can see, okay, that guy's probably not going to be a good free throw shooter. Like, it doesn't surprise me that Sean Stewart went 0 of 2. But, like, some of the guards, it's just like, you would expect that to come up. Yeah. I think we'll settle in at closer to, like, you know, 72 to 75%. But that doesn't fix the other issues.
Yeah, it's maybe a product of, like you said, who's taking them, who's shooting them. You know, I thought Foster did a lot of good things against Georgia Tech. Free throws this last week for him wasn't really one of those things. He went 1 of 4 against Georgia Tech. What'd he go against Arkansas?
2 of 4, maybe.
2 of 4. So that's not great, right? Nope. 3 of 8's not great. You know, that's
well, and he's got that weird form too. So I know. You know, it would not surprise me if he struggled a little bit there.
I know. Yeah, just a tough week. I think another thing that's kind of came up this week is this idea of leadership from the staff, from John, from the players. It's really hard to tell where that's coming from right now. When I'm thinking of game preparation, being ready to go, coming out of halves ready, to me, that's kind of a coaching thing right there of getting your guys ready, knowing what sets to get into. Throughout the game on the floor, I'm looking at some of the body language. I'm seeing these guys and I'm not seeing that vocal guy out there. Jeremy's playing his ass off out there, but I'm not seeing that sort of like pulling guys aside, like the coach. I just don't see that. Now, maybe it's happening. You know, I'm not in the locker room. How concerned are y'all about that piece specifically? Tyrese now could be out for a while. Brian Young's playtime is going to be hit or miss. Really, it's kind of back to last year almost, where Roach is the only guy. What do y'all make of that? Shoe, I'll go to you.
I mean, I think last year we kind of forced Roach to be that guy because he was the only returner, right? But I think and he even mentioned it, I believe, in media day, like he hadn't had to be that guy and, you know, was more of a lead by example, not a vocal guy. So he had to kind of teach himself to do that. I'm wondering if he's just reverting back to, okay, well, we've got, you know, Flip and Proctor, obviously, from what we've heard, has been a pretty vocal guy. Maybe he's just kind of, you know, relinquished that a little bit. But I mean, we're not getting a lot of it out there, and somebody's going to have to do something. I'm in the Roach camp. I mean, he's been our most probably solid guy game in and game out. So, you know, you back it up and then you get everybody in line as well.
Yeah, I think he's going to need to step up and talk more, especially with Proctor out for who knows how long, which I'm sure we're going to get into. But I think Proctor was probably the best equipped to actually be a leader, you know, just from what we've heard over the summer, given that he's the starting point guard and, you know, just his personality, I think, too. I just don't see who else it could possibly come from besides Roach with Proctor out. You know, one of the freshmen is not going to do it. Mitchell's a quiet guy. I mean, I guess Flip, maybe you'd like him to step up a little bit more.
That's the guy. And I think it needs to come from him, right? And I think...
I mean, he's our best player, for sure.
He's our best player, and he's been called out a little bit on kind of being a little pouty, right? Like some of the facial, the body language stuff, not quite there the whole time. I think that is a piece where like him and John should kind of sit down maybe, right? Get back in the film room and be like, look, dude, like you took a beating last year. You knew what was coming up this year. I need you to be that guy. Right. Like I need you to, because he's a demonstrative guy, right? Like the dude plays hard, like he wants to win. You can tell all that. It just needs to translate, I think, to help pick his teammates up a little bit, right? To elevate the rest of the guys around him. And then this is a good segue to talk about the defense a little bit. But Raul, you mentioned offline about missing Lively, and not just about missing him on defense, but about what he was as a vocal presence. We talked about that a lot last year. Of just,
I think I called it his spirit, right? It's like, yeah. It's not necessarily that he was our leader. It's just that he had a great energy to him.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, was contagious.
Yeah. And he talked all the time, right?
I could see Sean Stewart being that guy, like having that in him.
A little bit. Yeah. He just doesn't have the intangibles to just like say, hey, I have to play, right? Because if Sean Stewart's 7-1,
sure.
Well, then sure, right? Like, if you're able to do that, then I can live with the free throw shooting. I can live with some of the other stuff while we get you up to speed. But I think that part from Lively at that position, right? You're the backline guy. You're the center. You're looking out at the offense. You can call stuff out. I'm not sure Flip's quite there yet. And to Flip's credit, he's having to do a lot on defense right now because our guards aren't staying in front of anybody.
He's doing all right too, honestly. Like he's averaging two blocks a game. Has had some really good moments. Not perfect, but like to me, the defense is less of a problem than the offense. I think we're sitting at 29th on KenPom right now. And yes, I know we got lit up in these last two games, but you'll live with a defense in the 30s or the 20s or the 40s, even if you have a top five offense. And that's kind of the profile we expected. And our offense is all the way down to 18th now.
And our offense isn't helping our defense at all. Like if we were playing good offense, I think that would help our defense some. But like, and there was a clip on Twitter too. And obviously, if you watch the game, in any of our games, really, even some of the ones we win, the offense really is just like four dudes standing on the perimeter, whoever the two guys are involved in the pick and roll, and then a bunch of standing around. No cutting, no movement.
I was going to ask you guys about that. Like what you thought of the off-ball movement, because to me what I've seen is just exactly what you're saying. Like yes, we are getting open threes, but they're not those open threes that are coming like, you know, like the way Seth Curry or Andre Dawkins or, you know, obviously Redick or Luke Kennard used to get threes where they're coming off screens,
coming up with curls. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Double screens, even. It's just like we do some of that stuff in our games against lesser opponents, but for whatever reason, the second we play somebody good, it's just all that goes out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's disappointing because towards the end of last year, like we were pumping John up on some of the creativity and what he was doing. Like we've had Geisinger on talking about some of the actions that we were running last year. And like, where is that now? Like, I don't see any of that, even from the scrimmages when we were seeing like McCain and Proctor both on the same side together, and like all of the off ball movement that they were doing, they were giving it and relocating. It's just not there. I don't know what to do about that. I mean, even listening to John's presser, he's kind of baffled. Like, you know, we should be moving the ball. We should have way more assists. Like things should come easier for this team. And he's absolutely right. Now, part of that is,
well, Proctor gets
on
hurt.
Proctor gets hurt, but it's also like it's a little bit on you to get guys moving around and to get guys in sets, whether that's calling more offensive plays, calling less, I don't know. Something's kind of got to give because the offense is just pretty ugly right now.
And I agree with Raul. I think you're right. Like it is less about the defense, more about the offense. Do you wonder if the defense, like, because it's getting, look, if you get on social media, people are like, we can't guard this, we can't do, is it because of the way we're getting school? Like Arkansas was basically a layup line at the basket, And then Georgia Tech's just hitting threes on us when, you know, you get a guy that I think, what did John tweet, that averaged 3 points, but he went for 21 against us.
They're a big guy, yeah. Because they started hitting those threes, that spreads us way out, right? And then their center just becomes Hakeem or something, right? Like, I don't.
But ultimately, they scored 72 points.
Right. And
we should be able to score 73.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 4-16 from three is just, that's not going to get it done. 12 of 20 from the free throw line. It's not going to get it done. I mean, our rebounding, if you want to look at some positive things, the rebounding has been corrected a little bit. We're not getting killed on the offensive glass, but we're not really getting out and running. We're not getting out in transition. We're not able to get easy offense at all. And that is, that's been a killer. I mean, we talked about it in the offseason. We didn't talk about it. They talked about it. We want to play faster. We want to get out and run. Do it then. You know, like, let's see it. You can do, you don't have to force a turnover. It doesn't have to be a pick six to run. In fact, that's kind of like the anti-running now. Really, like, you just don't see teams doing that because there's too many ball handlers on the floor. Even in college, there's too many guys that can handle.
With as many guys as we have, would you guys like to just see us turn up the defense, even just play a little bit more helter skelter, like let's run on offense, but let's also press and be all like the final couple minutes against Arkansas when we basically made them fold. I mean, we waited too long and then all of a sudden we turn up the pressure on them. We've got plenty of guys. That's what I'm wondering. Like you've got Foster and McCain and Roach and, you know, hopefully Proctor gets back. You've got plenty of bodies to run like this. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd like to see kind of like a commitment either way, right? Like either lean fully into the depth and the press, if that's what you want to do, and like really get into guys and like really try to make that happen. My personal preference would to kind of just be to go back to playing like we did last year defensively. And I know you don't have Lively there. Just put flip and drop. Just do a sag man. John, you want a title play in that defense, dude. Like just do a sag man. Live a little bit with the threes, I guess, right? Like just use that to kind of like bring it back a little bit. Then let these guards rebound and run, you know, like, and then run off the break. But I don't know.
I totally agree with you that you don't have to force a ton of turnovers to get out and run. I mean, the Indiana Pacers would be a good example. I know this is the NBA, but if you watch them, they are literally taking the ball out of the basket after a made basket, throwing out of bounds as quickly as possible, back in bounds as quickly as possible. Halliburton is turning around and he's throwing to somebody streaking down the court.
Yeah.
Like all in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You can force fast pace if you want to.
Yeah. That, like how they're playing is like peak Roy Williams teams in the NBA personnel, right? And not too big, but like running a modern like lineup, modern roster with NBA talent. And that's, because Roy Williams teams weren't known for playing defense. They weren't known for forcing a lot of turnovers. It didn't matter. You know, like you could score and like while you're looking into the camera, doing whatever you're doing, it's already back up. And now they're doing the secondary break on you too. Like, I don't know, man.
I did want to come back to something Shu said about asking if it was like the way we were getting scored on. I wonder what you guys had like seen schematically exactly, because last year, I thought even before Lively's emergence, I thought the defensive principles were sound. Like we weren't an amazing defensive team, but even when we were playing Flip and Young, I thought, okay, people are where they're supposed to be and they're not giving up easy baskets and they're in position. And this year, I'm just not seeing as much of that. And I know we switched up the scheme a little bit. I read a Geisinger article that was like talking about how we were trying to do the Texas Tech no middle. But so I don't know if we're just blowing rotations. I am seeing some of that, but I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that? Like, is there something schematically that's going on that's, or is it just like the personnel not being as locked together as we were to start last year?
Do you want to jump in?
I mean, I guess I could. I don't know about this no middle thing. I mean, that's what we were trying to do. That's not what
I mean.
Seeing.
I trust Geisinger's eye on this kind of stuff, but
yeah,
you know.
I mean, you know, Arkansas Ellis was kind of getting in and doing whatever. I mean, just in the Georgia Tech game, they beat us on two, basically getting to the paint and throw a lob back to back. So if that's what we're trying to do, yeah, I'd switch that up, I guess. But it could just be, I mean, look, McCain is and Roach, they're not huge guys. They don't have crazy length wingspans. You know, Proctor's been a great on-ball defender. I don't know if Mark's been quite the defender that we saw him last year. We saw him really make some like game changing and saving defensive plays, and we just haven't really seen that this year. So it's hard to say if it's schematical or if it's personnel. But
yeah, I think too, like, there is some schematic stuff probably, right? Like, there's some stuff that we need to figure out when Flip's high defending the ball screen, like what we're doing behind him, right? And that, to me, I hate to keep singling out Mark Mitchell, but he's really the only guy that can recover down there and still be a threat. That's an issue. I think another thing that hasn't been talked about a lot is we're playing defense for a very long time. Like, the average possession length of us on defense is like, we're 331st in D1, right? That you're on defense for 20 seconds, basically. That's 18 and a half seconds every possession.
You're going to break down at some point.
And we're getting scored a lot on late in shot clocks, right? Like, we're doing some pretty good stuff. And then they finally do some secondary stuff. They get into the lane, they get the dump off, or they hit the lob, or they finally kick it out to the corner and get a three. Those are heartbreakers, right? Like, those are soul crushers. Or they do something like that, and then they get an offensive rebound.
Well,
and
how much have you seen has just kind of been, I hate to say it, like, just low basketball IQ? Like, I saw in the Georgia Tech game, they got a shot. Shot clock was winding down. Flip closes out, jumps at the guy, kind of gives a little half pump fake. You know, it was only 3 seconds or whatever on the shot clock. If you just stay down and force him to take a tough shot, but instead, you know, you fly by him, he goes in for a highlight dunk, and that's, you know, momentum change. So,
and when Flip's getting these fouls, right, we're seeing him play with 2 fouls, 3 fouls, and his defense after that is just turnstile almost, right? Like, he's scared to pick up that third because he can't. But at the same time, we also can't play like that, right? Like, we can't just allow guys to get into the lane like that. I mean, it's tough, man. People were roasting TJ a little bit for his defense, but it's like, on one of those, it's like, what do you want? To me, he forced the best shot I want. Like, he forced that dude to, like, scramble, hesitation, come back to the middle of the nail, do a fall away two, and the dude splashed in his face. Yeah. But it's like, you live with that. I mean, go listen to Shane Battier talk defense, and the result does not matter. Is that right? Like, the make or miss does not matter. It's, can I put you in a place where the numbers say across time, this is a bad shot for you? Like, he was just talking about how he was guarding Kobe. He's like, sometimes the hand in the face, like, he can drop 50 on me. Didn't matter, right? It's like, I'm putting him in a position where this is statistically the least effective shot. And you just have to live with that. I'm not comparing power to Battier here, but I think the shot that he was getting kind of roasted on is like,
right,
that's what I want him to take, right? Like, what other shot do you want the guy to have?
I think a lot of people look at results rather than process when it comes to defense. You know, it's like, if your plan is to sag off 3-point shooters and they start making threes, that doesn't mean it was a bad idea. Yeah. Like, if they're a bad 3-point shooting team, it was a good idea. Maybe you adjust your strategy partway through the game, but maybe you don't. Maybe you just trust the process.
Yeah. And over the course of a season, maybe it works out for you. But
That was a good point you brought up about the backline defense there when Flip is out high. I wonder with Mitchell too. Like, you mentioned his verticality seeming limited. You know, I wonder if that's kind of impacting it there. You know, he's not going to be able to get up and challenge lobs or, you know, make a nice quick rotation to block a shot. Is there room maybe for like Stewart getting in the lineup a little bit more? Cause he's the guy that could do that to me.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be kind of like our talking point number one, when we come back right quick from this break.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right. So yeah, Ro, you mentioned Sean Stewart. I think that was, first off, we're going to transition a little bit to talking about kind of what we want to see going forward, right? We've talked about the suck. We've sat in that for a while. You know, you hate to be 5-3 here, December 3rd or whatever it is. But it is still early. So let's kind of see, where do you go from this? Put yourself in, you know, if we're on the staff, what would you like to see? Ro, you mentioned Sean Stewart, and I think all Duke fans are clamoring to just his energy. Right. And to have rim pressure, like this team has zero rim pressure with this starting lineup. Like Flip can dunk, Proctor can dunk, Mitchell can dunk. But there's no rim pressure, not real rim pressure there. And so Stewart might be the only guy really that can provide that. His rebounding looks pretty good when he's in there. At least he's going up for him. I don't know if you're making adjustments. Where you go? Let's start with the starting lineup here. So, Shu, I'll send it to you first. Saturday, we play Charlotte. Who's your starting five? We'll assume that Proctor's out.
Okay, Proctor's out. So, Roach, Foster, Blakes, Stewart, Flip. That's okay. I want to, I'm all in on, to be honest with you, it's like, take the lumps now, let them learn, but get them ready for March, you know, because I think going forward, you guys have mentioned he's the only one that we've got that can really put pressure on the rim and can protect, can be a shot deterrent on the other end. He plays with a high motor, plays hard. That's half the battle right there. That's what I want to see, just somebody out there fighting, damn it. So give me Sean Stewart. And then Blake's the same way. Obviously, the shot. You know, the offense is, it is what it is, but, you know, there's a premium. There's those Tyler Thornton type guys that just want to win and will do anything and fight and claw to do it. So give me a little bit more of him too.
Okay. Okay. So it does sound like, though, I don't want to tweak it here, but it does sound like you want Stewart to be there kind of long-term. Blake's is just kind of rewarding what he's been doing recently somebody else needs to come earn this spot.
So some other people need to wake the hell up. Yep. You know, yep. I don't want to call anybody out, but wake the hell up. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that. All right. Raul, any changes to that?
Give me exactly the same lineup, but instead of Blake's, I'm going to want to see Power out there. And my reasoning is just what I mentioned earlier, the really high 3-point attempt rate. It's like he's doing what Jared McCain should be doing, just coming out there and firing threes. But I do really like the idea of Blake playing some major minutes, because especially with Proctor out, that's a guy who's a great on-ball defender that we've lost. So you want to replace that somehow, and Blake's is the best bet. So I would still like to see Blake's play at least 20 minutes versus Charlotte. And then Stewart for me is like the upside play, like Shu mentioned. just the vertical spacing he could give us, because that's another thing we missed from Lively. You know, it looked awkward early in the year with Lively, and we couldn't figure out how to use him. But then once we figured out exactly how to get him open on the lob or the roll, he became a great offensive weapon, even though he only scored 4 or 6 points a game. So it's not like Stewart has to score 15 points. Just being out there and being a vertical threat is probably going to be more impactful than what Mitchell's given us so far, because neither of them are going to space the floor. So you might as well go with the guy who at least has some upside athletically.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I think for me, it's a little bit of cherry picking here with both of y'all. Depending on what we want to do, like if we're really trying to bring energy, we're really trying to get out and run. I love throwing Blake's in there. I love putting Stewart and Flip, that, like that pairing. If we're wanting to see if we can stick to like a true kind of five out system here and really boost the offense, I kind of want to go power Flip at my 4-5 and run a little zone in there, and just maybe got to protect power a little bit, hide him a little bit. He gives you a true five out there because they got to guard him. And I'd like to see what that really does. Like I'd run Foster, Roach, Blake's power Flip and just see what I got, you know, see what, or run power at the three with Stewart and Flip and still play a little bit of zone there, you know, and just see what happens. Because right now teams are not respecting the jump shot, and they're not until someone's got to do it. I'm with both of y'all, though. McCain kind of has lost his spot a little bit right now. Now he can get it back. But I'd like to see him kind of come off the spotlight a little bit, right? Get to work in the practice, just be a gym rat like he is. Come off the bench, not quite as much pressure, and see if he can find something.
I mean, you know, he still does a lot of the little, like 10 rebounds the other night. Like, that's great. Like, still plays pretty good defense. But, you know, for a guy that won the 3-point shooting contest, like, we just wanted to see, you know, and granted, I think what you said, I think the stats are a little bit better than what my eye test or the memory, you know, shows in his 3-point.
It's just those 2 points. I mean, that layup that he had, we're on that fast break, and it just gets, dude just slams it off. It's like, dude, you got to dump that off. If that's what you're going up to finish, you got to just jump that to Mark or whoever was trailing him right there. Yeah. Like, that can't be. And then we had that little bunny in the lane, and it barely even clipped rim. It's like wide open. It's like really struggling to on the distance there.
I mean, he could be a really impactful offensive player if he just took fewer twos. Like the 3-point shot has been there. You know, I know he missed all three this last game, but he's still at 41% for the year. The problem is he just cratering. It's essentially a turnover every time he takes a two.
Yeah.
Since he's not giving you size and he's not giving you anything but 3-point shooting, I just don't see the value of starting him right now.
Yeah, there's not a lot of creation, not a lot of like creating for others.
He could be an interesting bench backup point guard, though, you know?
Yeah, or shooter, right? Because if you bring him in off the bench, it really slots in better as just to kind of get in the corner or like run him off some actions right quick. The Andre Dawkins treatment a little bit, or the Kennard treatment a little bit, of see if he can get hot for you, see if he can do something. He's not a defensive liability really at this point. Like, it's not excellent defense, but the effort's there.
I like his hands. I think he's pretty crafty.
Yeah. He's active for sure.
I think he plays a little bit bigger just because he's got those fast hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we all have Foster in our starting lineup, so let's talk a little bit about that. I think he could be maybe the biggest beneficiary of Proctor missing a few games, because it really gives us a chance. Now, John might just give it to Roach and say, look, you're just my guy. You're the senior. I'm going to put the ball in your hands and run everything around that. That'd be fine. And in the half court, I think that's still what we will do and probably should do. But in terms of maybe trying to up the pace a little bit, Foster's our fastest player with the ball in his hands. I mean, getting up and down, he was getting into the lane against Georgia Tech. He was driving. He's able to get to the rim. He's able to finish at the rim, which is actually kind of nice. We mentioned the free throw shooting, but is that maybe we could look back at this in a month or so and say, those 4 or 5 games without Proctor, Foster really found himself, right? Like, he found something, and maybe he sticks in the starting lineup when Proctor comes back. Or if he is going to come off the bench, maybe he's that like 25 to 30 minute guy off the bench and has this clear role when he does. I hate to do a silver lining, but I mean, I think it's possible, right, that we see some, because his role has kind of fluctuated a little bit. You know, his playing time's kind of fluctuated, his usage fluctuates. I'm in the camp of let's put the ball in his hands for a couple of games and see what happens. I don't know. What do y'all think?
No, I'm with that. I mean, he's got the size. He's played point guard before. I mean, I think he was playing point guard at Oak Hill. And then, you know, when he went over to California, he kind of transitioned to being more of like a scoring point guard or scoring guard. But, I mean, I think he's got it in him for sure. So I'm with that. And I think just, you know, we've seen three, now 4 years of it. Jeremy's just better, you know, being not looking to facilitate, but looking to score.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
just that's being fair. An attack guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Foster, you mentioned the pace, but I also think even in the half court, he's probably best equipped of any guard we have to really get in the lane and put pressure on the rim.
Yeah.
So that could help us too.
And can do it consistently. I think if we like empower him and unlock him, now that's going to, the only thing is, and this goes back to maybe some of the potential chemistry or potential fits, is I think John's got a task over this next stretch of games. You play two games in 3 days and then you have another like 8 day break or whatever before Baylor. It's got to happen before Baylor. You got to get some community buy-in here, right? I've seen, and I'm not trying to call him out, but it seems that Flip singles Foster out a lot on the court, right? He's in his ear a lot. He's taking him over a lot. He's kind of pointing at him a little bit. Now, their relationship could be great. I don't know. But that is something where I think you kind of have to talk to the guys a little bit and say, hey, we got to come together here. John even mentioned it in the press conference. Like, we got to stick together. We got to have a great week of practice. It's going to be curious to see what motivational tactics or how he does that. Because that's an issue right now, I think, right? These guys aren't playing together well. And that might not be because they don't like each other, but it just might be the system or the fit or whatever. But there's just not, you don't watch it and feel like things are clicking.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't feel like things are clicking.
Well, the good news is this is December and we've got, what, 4 more games the rest of the month. So a lot of practice time coming up, you know, a lot of time for
Proctor to heal as well.
Yep. True. And I'll say we saw this same exact thing last year too.
Yep.
Right. And we didn't hear chemistry issues then. I think just because the expectation of this group, returning that many starters, you would hope that it would be better, but we saw big time scoring lulls and it took a long time really last year for us to figure that out. Hopefully we don't go as far, before we figure it out, but it's not new, I guess. Yeah. Right. So,
and the big difference this year is the expectations that you mentioned, but also the schedule is a little tougher to start the year. And then we also just frankly got a little bit lucky and won some close games early in the year that we probably shouldn't have. Like, what was that? Was it Oregon State? That game?
Oh, that was disgusting
that we won like 52 to 51.
Yeah. 54, 51. Yeah.
That easily could have been a loss, you know?
Yeah.
I think that came down to the final possession. So you know, one of these games goes the other way, or Proctor doesn't get injured, we probably win the Georgia Tech game. But we had a chance to win these other ones as well. So if we pulled one of them out, it's not looking nearly as bleak.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, maybe that's something else. As we big picture is the ability to close, right? I mean, you look at our close games this year. Not a great record so far, right? Like, you know, games decided by 5 points or less, 0-3. Arkansas, I don't really, because we had gotten behind so bad that we were just kind of clawing back to make that respectable. Arizona and Georgia Tech, we both had the lead.
Yeah.
And lost the game down the stretch off some just IQ plays. And what's worse, Arizona and Georgia Tech, we don't even get a shot off. I know I said this is the positive aspect, so maybe we'll see that trend, but not even getting shots off in those situations is that's not the best of look, right? And so finding a go-to guy who is going to be the guy that wants the ball. I don't know. It is a little bit tough there, but I guess before we get out of here, we'll talk about Charlotte a little bit, but let's talk kind of globally. You know, we mentioned we're talking about the big picture here in terms of seeding. how concerned are we right now? You know, we mentioned in those big non-con games that Duke really needed to go 2-2 at least, right? You needed to go 2-2. That's still possible. But with the loss now to Georgia Tech, that throws a little bit of an extra wrinkle in there. Our record against the top 50 is not good, right? It's not good under John right now. What has to happen, I guess, for y'all to believe in this team? Not so much as a tournament team. I think that's a little bit kind of jumping off the cliff right now. But in terms of reaching that top five seed status, I'm not even going to talk about a one or a two seed right now. What has to happen other than just winning games here? Shu, I'll go to you.
I mean, I don't know if a one seed is even in the question.
I think it's unless you run the table or something crazy, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, everybody's taken to look. Purdue just lost again to you know, shout out CC,
UK as well.
UK lost. Well. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, everybody's taken some losses and it's going to happen. But I think for us, like, we're going to have to show something against Baylor. We can't get it. They're the number one offense in the country right now. So, you know, they want to put that doom and gloom on you guys, but you know, we're going to have to not get beat by 30 there. Keep that respectable. You know, God forbid we actually come out and play hard and don't get into a 12-0 hole. Maybe we can win that one. It is in Madison, you know, Cameron Norris. So we'll see. It's not on the road. The road games have been tough, though. Right now, I don't know if I trust us beating really anybody on the road. Pitt's not going to be easy. You know, Florida State's not going to be easy. Louisville, that might be easy, but we might find a way to not make it easy. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I'm hoping that we can still grab a 2-3-4 seed, but they're going to have to get a lot of stuff together.
Would like to be on the top half, but yeah. We'll see. Roel, what do you get? I mean, what are you looking at here in terms of seeding? Where's your DEFCON level at?
It's pretty high. I mean, I think if you beat Baylor somehow, which I don't have a lot of confidence in, but if you beat Baylor somehow and then you do really well in the ACC, like let's say you drop only three games, then yeah, you're right back at a 2 or 3 seed. But that's a lot to ask. It's just we've dug ourselves into a hole specifically with this loss yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, not that everything has to be a comparison, but it's a little bit hard not to compare a little bit 8 miles down the road, like just with the history of the two teams. And you look at their kind of last week of games versus ours, and that makes it a little tougher when they blew Arkansas out. Basically, they hang 100 on the nation's number one defense. And then they basically come back from Florida State. They were down like 14 or something in the second half.
A crazy run, I think. And 25-2.
Yeah, they're scoring at a level that is like RJ Davis has just been unlocked basically here. So
it's also a little bit ironic. Like last year, I think their fans underestimated what losing Brady Manick was going to do, right? And granted, to their, you know, they tried to replace him with Pete Nance, and that just didn't, you know, just didn't work out the same. But in our situation, we knew we were going to miss Lively, but we didn't replace him. We didn't even try to. I mean, maybe we did. Did we? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we agree.
We didn't.
Yeah.
I totally agree with what you're saying about underestimating the impact of Lively's loss. But I don't necessarily, maybe I just hate the too big thing too much to like admit that I was wrong about this. I don't know. But like, for me, it's not, you can have a good team with a 7-foot dude who stretches the floor at center. Like there's not only one way to build a team. You don't have to have Mark Williams or Derek Lively. Yes, of course we miss him because he was amazing. Like I think as we sit here just last night, he had 20 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 blocks in a game the Mavericks almost won after they went on a 30-0 run. So, like, clearly he's going to be a good player. You know, and I don't think that the stats really reflect just how good he was at Duke, but you should be able to build something with a bunch of good guards and a stretch five that looks better than this.
Well, what about just the optic, like the I guess, yeah, the optics of, like, say Lively never becomes what he did last year, and we never become this top 10 defense. And then this year, the expectations, oh, yeah, we're returning four starters, but not from some pretty decent team, just a bland, you know, a blah team. And we're preseason number 17 because we returned Roach and Proctor. And because, look, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, we fell victim to it. We all thought that Proctor was going to have a big, you know, sophomore leap, and he has played better. We, you know, we've talked about his numbers being up across the board and everything. So yeah, Flip about what he's been last year, I guess. What is he averaging? Maybe 18 right now. I don't know what it was after yesterday.
It dipped a little bit. Yeah.
The scoring's up. The 2-point percentage is way up for him. The 3-point percentage is actually down though. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah. And then Mitchell just, you know, and maybe it's just he's lost his confidence. I don't know. You know, in the Georgia Tech game, he made those two great strong plays, and then just compounded it by, I don't understand I have to talk about it. The point, that was just, you know, just a boneheaded play. You
it
know?
Is.
It's, you finally did something good.
Tough to call that, though.
I get it. Your emotions are high. Sure.
I want to know if they had given a prior warning to guys, like, because if you haven't given any warning and to call it in that moment, you can't point.
If you were barking, you know, you just kind of look at the guy and you're saying something, but you're also scanning into the crowd or whatever. Like, that happens every time somebody dunks, you know. But pointing, like, just straight pointing the dude, like, that's a taunt, you know. That's a
I mean, it's a stupid rule, in my opinion, but it is the rule, and I guarantee you Mark Mitchell knows that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, you know, I don't want to go too deep into it, but I think the adding the portal big, the argument to that, and the offset on our end is that, well, for us, well, me, I thought that, like you said, we would have good guards. We don't have good guard play, not collective, right? Like, Proctor's been fine. Roach has been fine, but it hasn't been this, like, cohesive, like, at the same time the guards playing well together. McCain and Foster have kind of been up and down, never been up really at the same time. If we had the good guard play, maybe a lot of this stuff is offset, right? If you really have good, strong guard play.
To me, my argument was always, you're not going to get another Lively in the portal. Like, best you're going to do is like 60% of Lively. Right. So is it worth punting on spacing to have 60% of Lively? Well, right now it looks like it is. Like, right now I would take that, but that's because the guards haven't been good.
I think that's fair. So, you know, it's tough right now. I think I saw a stat or something where, like, Duke hasn't started 5-3 or whatever in like 30, 40 some years, you know, since K's first two seasons. Granted, you know, a little bit of credit has to be the schedule that Shire put together here. You're playing a lot of big time teams. Losing to an Arizona isn't, I mean, you want to win that game at home, especially when you have the lead late, but that's not the end of the world. Losing at Arkansas by 5 isn't the end of the world. I think it's just, you put it all together of where you thought this team was going to be, where we thought this team was going to be, and it's disappointing. But it is only early December, right? So, like, everything could still pan out, right? People kind of, what was UConn last year? A 4 seed? 5. And they just rolled through the tournament. So it's like, yeah, okay. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I think there's time. We got to figure some things out. We got to get the offense clicking. We got to find the joy of just kind of playing basketball again a little bit, right? And, you know, you got Charlotte coming in, and you would think, okay, here's the chance. But, you know, this is a top 150 team coming in here. They're 4-3, but they've lost to Davidson. They lost to UCF in OT. They lost a game to Liberty. And they're not going to come in and just lay down, I don't think, right? Now, what's going to be frustrating is they're a team that doesn't shoot the three again well, and get ready for that, right? So, I don't know. I think for me, looking ahead for these next few games, I really just want to see the energy level up, right? I want to see the hustle. I want to see guys flying around, diving on the floor. I want to see all those, like, cliche things that don't really equate too much in the long-term statistics. I just want to see that, right? Like, collectively, a little bit of fire coming out, taking it personal, saying, like, look, this can't, we can't go out like this, right? Like, we can't, we got to figure something out. That's what I mean. Above all the X's and O's and all the schematic thing, I just want to see us playing hard to start a game and not just fall into a hole and just not look like we know what we're doing. I don't know. I guess we'll stick with it since we've been doing this. But let me get some predictions here. I guess I'll go to you first again. KenPom's got this 76-61 Duke. What are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll hit. I still got to think we're going to get the. Well, I don't know. We're not going to have Proctor. Let's take that down a bit. Let's go like 72-50.
Okay. All right. So you think we're holding them to 50 points, huh? All right. Roll, what you got?
Yeah, I tend to think we're going to play well. I don't know. You know, just two straight losses to much better teams than this one. Again, like you said, they're not pushovers, but I do think that Shire's probably going to make some big changes. He's probably going to have them practicing pretty hard this week. And I expect the ball movement to be a lot better and being at home and all that. I think that spread feels about right to me. Like, I would be surprised if we won by less than 11 would be my kind of like, that's the worst it would be. So kind of in that, but I don't expect to blow them out either, but I think like a 20-point win.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think we're gonna feel a lot better about
the team. I'm banking on us being pissed off after back-to-back games. And we're finally getting back home. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I think part of the spread is just because of how Charlotte plays. They're not good offensively, but they play pretty much the slowest brand of basketball in D1. So. And we play kind of slow as well.
I just I have a feeling we're going to hit a lot of threes.
That would be nice. That would definitely be nice. And I got a feeling that we might be able to get out in transition if we're going to put Foster in there and just kind of let him run a little bit. Surely if we start Foster and Blake's together, like, you have to run at that point. No one's slowing down Blake's. Like, he only knows one speed, right? So he's going to get out and run. I think 15 does sound about right. I think it's a pretty solid one, 76-61. That I could see that playing out, you know, right around in that range. I'd like to see us pretty pissed off and just turn this into like a 30-point win and just blow the doors off of them. Not going to predict that, though. Not coming off the way we have. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
I think it'll tell us a lot about the direction the season's going to me.
Yeah.
Like, if we don't, I want us to play well. Even if they play well and manage to hang in the game, I hope we have some like fire and we're executing well.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see.
Same. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll, you know, let that play out a little bit. We'll come back probably and talk about that game after the fact. Hopefully it's a little bit more of a positive kind of message. But I think just as we get off here, and obviously all the usual stuff, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us on the board, thedevilsden.com. Email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. Twitter at devilsdenpod247. The biggest thing for me is just trying to rally around John a little bit here. I've been pretty critical and I've asked, you know, is the seat getting a little warm? But he is one of us. He's somebody that I really want to see succeed in this role. And it's year two, you know, he's what, 30 some odd games in. Maybe he's hit the 40 game mark at this point, probably by now, doing it on the biggest stage. So just sticking with him, you know, so I think there's more left that we're going to see. Not giving up on him or the staff. We've seen it last year. So,
well, you brought up Hubert Davis, right? Like, Carolina looks a lot better this year.
Yeah. Year three.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at how much he struggled last year.
Yeah. So, you know, it can happen. Hopefully we don't take the whole year like they did to kind of figure things out. Hopefully the locker room stuff is being overblown and that's not a thing. But
I wish Hubert would show Shire where the magic create an awesome 3-point shooter button is.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Because he seems to, you know, he misplaced it last year, but he's found it again.
Yeah, we should just hire Hubert as like an offseason portal analyst and just have him go scout the portal for us and be like, these are the three guys. I mean, I'm going to get out of here, I promise. But Harrison Ingram looks to me like what Harrison Barnes was supposed to be. Like, right, dude is incredible somehow. And you would have thought that he was on the team last year that failed, because he's just the most demonstrative guy out there.
That's what I was referring to. I don't know what he's shooting now, but at least to start the year, he was like 50% from three or something after completely struggling his first year.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. Got some stuff coming up. So, you know, time to get right, time to make things happen. And, you know, just stick with it, Duke fans, and keep the faces strong and the verve high.
Go Duke.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.